If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. So far the reading of the text. Dearly beloved of Christ Jesus, the only Savior of the world. You've probably heard it said that you should drink a lot of water if you want to be healthy. I've even heard it said that by the time you feel thirsty, especially when exercising or exerting oneself, you're already dehydrated. You need to drink before you feel thirsty. And while water is necessary for our physical well-being, it's even more so for our soul's welfare. The woman that Jesus met at the well that day was thirsty, even if she didn't know it. When Jesus asked her for a drink, he was awakening a spiritual thirst within her. He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. But how can this be? Where was he going to get this living water? The well was deep, and Jesus apparently had no way to draw from that well. But of course, this woman did not understand what Jesus was talking about because she didn't know who he was. But that was about to change. So Jesus answers, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. With this kind of water, she wouldn't have to come out to this well day after day. She wouldn't have to bear the heat of the day to draw water and carry it home. So, naturally, she's interested. Who wouldn't be? Still, thinking of earthly matters, she said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. It appears that she's only really concerned about the here and now. It seems that she had really only heard the first part of what Jesus had said. She had only heard the part about not being thirsty again. And that sounded great. Now, Jesus was certainly creating a thirst within her, but she wasn't quite ready yet for the water he offered. And so he tells her, go, call your husband and come here. When she said she didn't have a husband, Jesus replied, you are right in saying I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. This created a thirst in this woman which only he could quench. With his words, he laid bare her soul. with pinpoint precision, he cut to the heart of the matter. Her sin. And when she seems to change the subject, Jesus leads her to faith in him. Indeed, true worship of God is not limited to a certain location. Rather, true worship of God is to accept the gift he offers. True worship of God is to believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. True worship of God is to drink the living water of forgiveness and eternal life. True worship of God is not a matter of where as much as it's a matter of who is there and how this worship takes place. True worship is done in spirit and truth. As the Holy Spirit leads us to receive our Lord Jesus and all that he has done for us. True worship of God is all God's work within us and not our own. Well, and to all this, the woman confesses her faith in the coming Messiah. When he appears, he will explain everything. Her thirst had been increased to the point where she craved for relief. So Jesus quenches her thirst with those words, "I who speak to you am he." He is the Messiah promised in the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses, the scriptures of the Samaritans. He is the living water welling up to eternal life. With the forgiveness of her sins, her thirst is quenched. She now knew who had asked her for a drink. She knew her Savior, and she knew the living water which gave her life. Jesus does the same thing for us. He wants this water to become in us a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So, what sin does he need to expose in your life? What sin saps life from you? What sin do you keep hidden from others and from yourself? A word or deed from long ago, spoken or done by you? Or to you? An insatiable need for gossip? Adulterous desires and actions? An unending lust for power or money or control? A lackadaisical attitude toward God and his word? An overblown interest or involvement in sports or entertainment. An unquenchable desire to be loved by the world. A never-ending contempt for those God has placed in authority over you. Hatred or desire for revenge towards someone. A lack of trust in God's provision for your needs, or maybe even a lack of trust in his protection as we face the illnesses and sicknesses of our day. Or perhaps It's something else. Beloved, in God's mercy, He confronts us with our sin. Not to condemn us, but to make us thirsty for the living water that He would give us. You see, He does not want us to remain in our sin. He wants to give to each of us living water welling up to eternal life. He wants each of us worshiping upon His mountain where He pours out His gifts upon us. He wants us bathing in His water, eating from His nail-pierced hands, and drinking from His riven side. For the one offering living water is the one who gives Himself for you upon the cross. He's the one who suffers thirst beyond measure as He hangs on that cross bearing your sins and the sins of the world. He gives Himself so that you would know without a doubt that your sins are forgiven. He gives Himself so that your sins can't hurt you anymore because you don't have to keep them a secret. You can do exactly what the woman did. You can confess them. And Jesus forgives them. Well, to be sure, we don't like to have our sins pointed out to us. It's uncomfortable. It's even painful at times. Besides, we'd rather deal with our sins in our own way, perhaps even ignoring them or sloughing them off as though they really aren't so bad. But doing so only leaves us thirsty, with no hope of having that thirst quenched. So Jesus holds our sins before us to make us thirsty for the living water, which will satisfy our deepest thirst and give us eternal life. And when we have such thirst, when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus satisfies that thirst as only He can. He gives us Himself. And so Isaiah 55 invites us, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters." Jesus says, "He who believes in me shall never thirst." The one who is the Alpha and the Omega says, "I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts." And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. And thus Jesus invites us to drink of him, the life-giving water. That is, he invites us to believe and to trust in him for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Without this water, called Jesus, we die. We die of thirst. We die in our trespasses, our iniquity, our guilt. But with this water, this living water, which Jesus pours out in abundance in a never-ending stream, we have life. And we have it abundantly. God grant to each of us that we thirst for that living water and drink of it often, so that the thirst of our souls would be quenched with living water and we would enjoy eternal life with Him forever. In Jesus' holy name, amen.